You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our phone number is 564-1290 or 866-564-1290. Go to RadioRealEstate.com, RadioRealEstate.com to listen to past programs and find real estate information. Call me after the program at 452-2428, 452-CHAT. Jaron Piltz is the producer of the program. For this second segment, Neil Kalin, California Association of Realtors attorney, is today's guest. And I, Mark Schneidman, am my client's realtor. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Neil Kalin.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Thanks for joining us. I know you came up last week, and Leslie Appleton-Young, also chief economist for the California Association of Realtors, she was up last week, too. So Santa Barbara was overloaded with CAR last week. And
well, privileged, I think, is a better word.
Thank you. I'm sorry. That's what I had written down. I just didn't see that. So you came up, but you took the train, which you're coming from L.A.
Right. And, well, coming from the Valley, it's a nice, easy ride from the Valley.
How, like, what's the time and what's the cost to take a train from the Valley?
The time, 2 hours, and the cost is, I think it was $17, $17.50, something like that.
One way.
So under $20, one way.
One way. And then did you get picked up by a SUV at the train station?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, you did.
I did.
Just tool around and burn some gas.
That's right.
No, well, it's good to see. It's good to see people using the train. I tried to use the train once to go to L.A. It didn't. The timing wasn't that great, but if they can improve on that, that'd be great. So we have some new forms coming up. You're in charge of many things at CAR.
That's the case, yes.
But part of it is the offer, the actual deposit receipt, and some new forms.
That's what I do.
All right, so what's on the front burner for these forms? With first one you mentioned, form for withdrawing an offer. And why did we need that?
Why do we need that? Okay. Well, sometimes, let's just say a buyer makes an offer, and the way the contract works, that offer is not just accepted by the seller signing it, but the seller has to both sign it and return it back to the buyer before it's accepted. Well, maybe the buyer changes his or her mind before the offer is accepted and says, you know what, I changed my mind. I don't want you to consider my offer anymore. What I find typically happens in the field is that the buyer's agent will call up the seller's side and say, you know what, this offer is off the table anymore. My buyer is no longer interested in the property. But it's always better to confirm a verbal revocation with a written revocation. And that's why we have it.
Is that called the Dear John form? Now, I know what you mean, and that is true, what you said. The practice is the agent will call. Of course, the agent, if he's not on the ball, he might not call, and then he probably won't use the form either.
Right.
But I guess it is nice to have it in there, and maybe it'll remind him to be a decent person.
Well, and really why it's there, it's to prevent those disputes where somebody does call, the agent is doing the right thing, and then there's a dispute. I called, no I didn't, I talked to you, that isn't what you said. You said they were thinking about withdrawing it, but they weren't withdrawing it. You know, you get into all sorts of variations of what one person said and what one person heard, and they're not always the same thing.
I like the form. Okay. I like the form. Another form is a form for additional people to sign. Additional people to sign, and we're talking about sellers.
Right, sellers or buyers.
And or buyers.
Right.
Because the existing form pretty much has just two places.
That's correct.
That's, you know, kind of an insulting assumption to make that there'll only be two people buying or selling. How did you get away with that all these years?
Well, I don't know that it was done for any assumptive purposes. Working on the forms as I have for the last 10 to 12 years, we just don't have a lot of space, quite honestly.
Right.
And so frequently there's more than one person on title. So we needed to have two to at least accommodate the great majority of the situations. But does it cover them all? No. And we find people write names in the margins. They write names underneath lines. You can't see anything. So we said, you know what? We could either have an extra page with every single contract, or we can just have an extra page for those contracts where it's needed. And that's what we decided to do.
So the assumption, so the two buyers will sign and initial every page, and then if there's a third and fourth buyer or a third and fourth seller, and you do have many times these sellers that are owned with people who inherit property, you have multiple owners.
Right.
So they will just sign one form saying they acknowledge all the other pages.
That is correct. And, of course, something that we just don't know yet, and time will tell, as happens with in so many cases, the purpose of this form is to establish who the owners are and who the buyers are at the time of contract. People are saying, well, what is this going to do for the disclosures, and what is this going to do for the contingencies and the removals and the notices?
Oh, does everyone have to sign, you mean?
Right. And, well, everyone should have to sign all those separate documents. But at least we want to get something clarified at the beginning of the transaction. Who are all the buyers? Who are all the sellers? And that's the point of this form. Whether it morphs into something in the future, we'll have to see.
I ran into an agent the other day who we were talking about a sale we made a few years ago where I represented the buyer, he represented the seller. And this guy was, he's kind of a, you know how some independent brokers could have a reputation for just being maybe a little, not exactly dotting every I and crossing every T, but not a negative type of thing. Not as if he's, you know, evil or evil intention, but maybe just a little, well, you know. So he goes, well, you know that listing? I said, you know, he said to me, I didn't even ever sign a listing for that deal. I thought, really?
And you were a little worried at that point.
Well, this was years, you know, we're having this conversation last week, and we're talking about a listing that I sold years ago. So it's all done and over with, and commissions were paid. And this guy was like an old guy in Santa Barbara, you know, he was a native, and he was like, hey, I don't need to sign this paperwork. Come on, you know me. It's a handshake.
There you go.
And it worked out. It worked out fine, but I'm glad I didn't know it at the time.
And sometimes it does work out just fine.
A form for, quote, I'm a realtor. And
yeah.
I'm proud. I'm woman. What is that for?
I like that. That form is really there so that those real estate agents like yourself who join the Association of Realtors, who agree to abide by the Code of Ethics, who have this, maybe this higher ethical standard than a real estate licensee who has not bothered to join an Association of Realtors, can tell their client, I'm a realtor. There's something I offer you in addition to what a real estate licensee offers you. And actually, something that you could be proud to let the other party in the transaction know as well, because realtors agree that if they have a dispute, that dispute's going to be heard at the Board of Realtors. The dirty laundry is not going to be aired in court for everybody to see and to involve everybody else that may be involved in that realtor-to-realtor dispute. So it's a way, obviously, I'm a employee of the Association of Realtors, and I would love to see all real estate licensees join the association, but only about half do.
You know,
it's a way to take pride in that.
And let me just clarify, you said the words, but just so people understand, when you talked about going to the board, you were talking about disputes between realtors.
That's correct.
No principles are bound by that. Well, you know, in certain towns, like I believe Santa Barbara, I don't know what the percentage is, but I'm sure I'll just say 90%.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I mean, I'm just saying that just because I have no idea if that's accurate, but I just know it's just vast majority. You rarely see people active in the business. Now, I'm sure a lot of people hold licensees and they might be mortgage brokers or attorneys or this and that, and they don't end up joining. But they're not real active selling real estate agents, at least from what I see in Santa Barbara.
And that does happen as well. They say only about half of the licensees are members of the Association of Realtors. Some of those, because they're loan brokers and maybe they feel that the Association of Realtors does not have benefits for them. I would disagree with that statement, but a lot of loan brokers feel that way. Like you say, many licensees, maybe they're not really in the business.
No,
you know, they hold their license, maybe they'll for when they sell their own house or their own properties.
Exactly. That's why I don't like that stat, 50%, because I think it might imply, a higher number. If you looked at maybe active selling real estate agents, I bet a higher percentage are members.
I would bet that's correct.
I would, it's kind of like, so I was going to go into an NBA analogy where they're trying to change the stats on shooting percentages for when you hit three-pointers, but I don't have time to go into that.
Okay, that's probably a good thing.
Now, another form that might be the last form that we're going to talk about is mediation arbitration between the principals, the buyers.
Right.
And it would be between, let's say, a buyer and both the brokers and the seller and the agent who's representing the buyer.
Right.
Is that correct?
That is
the agent
correct.
Representing the buyer? Because initially, when a listing is taken, you have the agent representing a seller. They undoubtedly will sign an arbitration agreement between the listing broker and the seller if there's a dispute between those two.
I would not say undoubtedly. I would
really?
Not say undoubtedly. I do not have statistics on that, but many brokerage companies take the policy. We're not going to insist that in our listing agreement an arbitration clause be signed. It's really up to the seller, and then they'll follow the seller's move, so to speak.
Okay, well, that's well said. I guess in my personal experience, sellers have traditionally signed the arbitration, but it's certainly not required.
Right.
Not mandatory. But so what's going to happen now? But if it would if it happened in the past, that's the relationship it would be between. It would be between the listing agent and his seller, his principal. They might have an arbitration agreement. But now you're going to have a form for the other players to have an opportunity to jump in. Is that the case?
Well, it turns out we're not, but let me explain something that was left unsaid. Regardless of what the listing agent and the seller do at the time a listing is taken, whether they agree to arbitration or do not agree to arbitration, if in the purchase agreement a buyer and seller initial the arbitration clause, so the buyer and seller agree, they're going to arbitrate disputes. If that happens, the way the agreement, the purchase agreement is written, at the time a dispute develops, the buyer or seller needs to notify the broker. And the broker has a right to opt in to that arbitration. Okay, so CIR was thinking of creating a form where rather than waiting to the time of dispute, the real estate broker who had not yet agreed with the principals would say, I'm telling you right now, if there's ever a dispute in the future, it's not a matter of me opting in or opting out. I'm telling you right now I want to arbitrate. Now, that's what we were planning on releasing in April, and it turns out our Standard Forms Committee decided just last Friday not to release that form.
That's interesting.
It was interesting.
And I guess it makes sense.
Well, some people thought, which was the reason we came up with this draft, that those brokers who have that as a policy should have the right at the inception of the transaction to say, this is our policy. We're almost always going to agree to arbitration, so why don't we let everybody know up front rather than waiting till a dispute develops? What we heard from many, particularly from lawyers who represent real estate brokers, is that sometimes that puts a broker in an awkward position. And so they said, why don't you bring that form back to committee and think about it a little bit more? And maybe this form will be released later in the year. But the committee said, okay, let's listen to that other input some more. We'll put that form on hold for the time being, and we'll make a decision later in the year.
Okay. Neil Kalin, I'm talking with Neil Kalin. He is one of 13 attorneys with the California Association of Realtors. Neil, for the sake of full disclosure, I want you to know that our guest for the second segment, as I mentioned, Leslie Appleton Young, who's a vice president and chief economist for the California Association of Realtors, she's on hold right now, so she can hear what you just said and what you're about to say. So I want full disclosure.
I appreciate that.
Because,
and I'll do my best to make Leslie proud.
Well, I want to finish up with you on this arbitration to go over some numbers that you gave me on how this all pans out with the right of appeal. We'll talk about that.
And fascinating numbers.
I'm sorry?
They're fascinating numbers.
They are. Yeah. And so we'll do that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Leslie. But if you could hold on, I'd love to have the two of you on just for a minute, because I have a little issue I want to resolve, or at least disclose to both of you. And maybe Leslie could shed some light on this that I'm a little confused about. So let's talk about this. We're talking about this arbitration. We'll wrap this up. What is arbitration? If you go into any good local brokerage, you could pick up disclosures, information on arbitration, explaining it all, so you can make a decision before you get into a transaction, a real estate transaction, with your broker, with the other principal, or as I mentioned, your stockbroker, insurance broker. Everybody is offering the opportunity to arbitrate, and so you should learn about what it is. Now, one of the objections you might hear to people is, well, I don't want to arbitrate because it gives up my right of appeal. If I go to an arbitrator, I have to live with that arbitration. So Neil and I, we talked about this years ago, and these numbers are old numbers from the year 1999-2000, fiscal year.
And right.
These are the numbers that Neil gave me. There were 1 million general civil action lawsuits filed for that year. Now, you'll find out a small percentage of those, only 2%, less than 2%, 17,000 of the million actually had a jury trial. So what does that mean? Does that mean that most of those people arbitrated? Or they just walked away, or?
No, well, those stats have absolutely nothing to do with arbitration. Those stats have to do with, say, these are the cases that were filed. Now, what happens with most cases that are filed? They disappear. The parties negotiate a solution.
Okay, that's what I meant.
Right.
They file, but they disappear. But so, okay, so of the 1 million people that I'm filing a lawsuit, less than 2% had a jury trial, 17,000. And of those 17,000, less than half, 7,650, those people appealed. Those people appealed. But that represents such a small percentage, when you look at it, of the people who had a jury trial or the people who originally had a dispute. But here's the kicker. Only 5% of those decisions were reversed. So of the 17,000, only 382 had a decision that was reversed, which tells us that the decision made in the beginning was the right decision, or at least a decision that would stand.
But the decision that would stand, I think that's probably a better way to analyze it.
Right. So, you know, right, because inevitably, if you have a decision against you, it's going to be the wrong decision because it wasn't decided in your favor.
That's how most people look at it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So inevitably, if it's not going to be reversed by the courts, so are you giving up a lot when you sign arbitration and giving up that right of appeal? That's your decision. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. You've listened to Neil Kalin, California Association of Realtors. We'll take a quick break. He'll stay on for just a minute, and we'll greet Leslie Appleton-Young, Vice President, Chief Economist for the California Association of Realtors. And she's going to discuss a little bit about the soft landing and some issues about mortgage rates. And I think there was one other topic I wanted to ask her about. She might have some information on some surveys that we did with realtors and closing transactions. It's 32 minutes after the hour.